first reading is taken from Acts. Then certain individuals came down from Judea, and they were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And after Paul and Barnabas had no small discussion and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to discuss this question with the apostles and the elders. And so they were sent on their way by the church. And as they passed through both Pontica and Samaria, they reported the conversation of the Gentiles and brought great joy to all the believers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and said, "It is necessary for them to be circumcised in order to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders met together to consider this matter, and after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "My brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that I should be the one through whom the Gentiles would hear the message of the good news and become believers. And God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And in cleansing their hearts by faith, he has made no distinction between them and between us. Now therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing on the disciples a yoke that neither of our ancestors nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." And the whole assembly kept silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they told of all the signs and wonders that God had done through them among the Gentiles. And when they were finished speaking, James replied, "My brothers, listen to me. Simon has related how God first looked favorably on the Gentiles to take from among them a people for his name. This agrees with the words of the prophets, as it is written, 'And after this I will return, and I will rebuild the dwelling of David, which has fallen. From its ruins I will rebuild it, and I will set it up, so that all other peoples may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles, even whom my name has been called. Thus says the Lord, who has been making these things known for a long ago.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So even though there was no compelling soundtrack just now or flashy effects, what you've just heard was a momentous occasion for the early church. It is approximately the year 50, a little less than 20 or so years after Jesus' ascension. Paul's travels have taken him to Antioch, which would be north of Jerusalem, very approximately, around somewhere near the border of modern Syria and Turkey. They are now sharing the news of Jesus to the Gentiles. But some are teaching that in order to be a follower of Jesus, you must be circumcised, meaning that you must follow all of the law of Moses. You see, all of the first observers of what we now call Christianity, were Jewish. So even though they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, they were still observant Jews. They circumcised their babies, they observed the dietary laws, and so on. So then the question was, between these two sides, if you aren't already Jewish and you come to believe in the saving power of Jesus, then do you need to become Jewish? So the words here that are used say that with those others who were saying, "Yes, you must," Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them. So as you can see, church conflict has been in existence since about 5 minutes after the church began. Well, Paul and Barnabas and some others, it says. We don't know if these are the people who disagree with Paul and Barnabas or agree, but it doesn't really matter. They are appointed to go to Jerusalem to discuss this question with the apostles and elders. And so here, what you have and what you have just heard is commonly known as the Council at Jerusalem. Paul goes to Jerusalem and meets with Peter and James and other elders. And Peter argues, I think rather beautifully, that God has given his Spirit to the Gentiles without them first being Jewish. So why then would they, as humans, impose the yoke of the law on them? So it is decided then that Gentiles are not required to uphold Mosaic law. Again, Peter's words, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. So for the church of the year 50, the issue at hand was circumcision and Mosaic law. In our lifetimes, we have experienced church conflict over the ordination of women, over the ordination and marriage of LGBTQ persons. We've argued over red books, blue books, green books. We've argued over where the font goes and stained glass windows, serving communion to children. And the list goes on. There always seems to be something that we are collectively trying to figure out. C.S. Lewis, who you will know as the author of the Narnia books, also wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters. This is a great book. I commend it to you. It is written in a satirical way as letters that go back and forth between senior demon Screwtape and his nephew, Wormwood, who is a junior tempter. The letters go back and forth with Screwtape mentoring Wormwood on his responsibility of ensuring the damnation of a man referred to throughout the book only as the patient. Screwtape gives advice to Wormwood on how to tempt, distract, and undermine the faith of the patient. And I've always remembered this part where the nephew, Wormwood, bemoans that the patient is a Christian. His job would just be so much easier if he wasn't. But Screwtape informs Wormwood to use the patient's churchgoing to his benefit and advises that this is best done by encouraging the patient to focus on something that appears to be important to the faith, but that is in actual fact meaningless to salvation. Lewis's writing in this book does a phenomenal job of highlighting the ways in which we become distracted from the main thing. Again, if you want a very thought-provoking and sometimes very comical read, I commend it to you. Stephen Covey, who wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, is quoted as saying, and I'm sure that you've heard this before, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And as much as he wrote it for a different reason, I think this is something that we do well to remember as Christians. Again, I go back to Peter's words. We believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. For us, the main thing is always God's grace. No matter what else we think is important, it is never as important as the fact that we are saved by grace alone. Luther has a great word for all of these things, if you're one for big words. We call these things adiaphora, which comes from Greek. It means spiritually neutral. There are a small number of things on which we stake our faith. Grace, the divinity of Christ, the body, the bodily resurrection, and a few others. But most of the things that we think are important actually have no bearing on our salvation. They are spiritually neutral, adiaphora, if you will. And these are precisely the things to which Screwtape would have us give all of our attention and energy. And I am willing to bet that basically every conflict that you have ever lived through in this congregation or whatever congregation that you have been a part of have been arguments over adiaphora. We very rarely argue over the really big stuff. Now, I don't want you to hear me say that what you think is important isn't important. Instead, I want you to hear that we need to remember to keep the main thing the main thing. Again, I don't want you to hear me say that what you think is important isn't important. I'm not saying that. What I want you to hear is we need to try to keep the main thing the main thing. When conflicts arise, which they will, they do. It's what happens when people come together. But we attend to them, as Paul and Barnabas did, and we figure it out. And there's a decent formula for how to do that, which is located in this text that includes speaking to elders and looking at scripture. And a few other things. So we deal with it, we figure it out, and then we move on so that we can get back to the main thing. Peter says, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. That's it. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and it is not by our own doing, it is a gift of God. And those are Paul's words from Ephesians. And if we really believe this, then we can't not be changed by it. We can't not want to tell someone else. We can't not live a life that demonstrates what Peter says, that God sees no difference between us and them, whoever your us and them is. God sees us all, loves us all, and heaps grace upon us all. So it is my prayer that each breath you take, each day you live, and each decision you make be centered on the main thing. I pray that you extend your hand and your love and your witness to everyone whom you meet.